He asked, what Wolverine said to you?
Well, Wolverine said, in years ahead, there's going to be somebody going to work at your boots for you. You know, he wanted this girl, but he didn't explain it that way to him. This man realized what he meant. He said there'd be somebody working at close for him. So he knew what he meant. He knew that he wanted his daughter, you know. So he gave him his daughter. This way he got his daughter, you know, the one that he didn't want to give out. But whatever that Wolverine said, you cannot pass it, you know. It just has to be done. So this man got this young girl that way, you know. Well, he was a lucky guy too. In other words, he was a lucky guy, but he had this, maybe this young guy had that in mind, you know. I think he wanted to get this girl before, but the old man don't want to give him the girl, you know, give him his daughter. So he must have figured it out that he's going to check his trap and he will bring him there. You know, sure he's going to get no question asked.
His father's native name.
I can stop that tape recorder for a while, maybe I can. And my mother's native name. Okay. His native name was Semagan. I don't know what it means, but this. And my mother's native name was Nalato.
Maybe you could say that again.
Nalato. Okay. And I don't know what that means, but anyway, that was their name anyway. And other than that, I don't know what their maiden name was, you know, but that was just their name, their native name that I know.
So is that how your father got his last name? Was how they pronounced his native name?
That's right. That's how my father got his. When I was a kid, he used to call me his name was Big George. So our last name was George, all of us, you know. The whole family's name was George, but later on the Catholic priest come down on their name, and then pretty soon they give the last name, their native name, as a last name. You know, it come that way, I guess, for, you know, like if you was a Japanese or Chinese, you know, got last name, then do you know he's got a Japanese blood in him or Chinese name or German name or whatever, you know. That's why I guess the priest kind of figured it out, so he gives us our native dad's name, put it as a last name. And that's the way I figured it out now, you know.
So, but that, when the name was, last name was George, that was before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And who gave that name? Is that miners around here or something?
I think it's the priest that gave him that name, you know. Of course, the oldest Catholic priest, well, he'd been Catholic here all the time, you know, and then Catholic priest was the one that given names to practically all the Nulata people, give them names. And some of them even got a Russian last name, you know, like Ismailka, Petka, and all those things, you know. They said there used to be some army up there, a Russian army. Long, long time ago.
Where were they at?
In Nulato.
Oh.
You
know. Oh, yeah.
So most of them got their last name from that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you know what your father's parents, either one of them? So your grandparents on your father's side?
No.
You don't know any of their names?
I don't know any of their names.
Okay. And what about your father had brothers or sisters?
My father had a brother.
His name?
I do not know his name, but now they got names like Andre in here. You know, like, he died last summer, my cousin, Datin Andre.
How is his name spelled?
Andre or Datin.
That was his whole name, Andre Dan. The whole
no,
name.
No, just I don't know the whole name, but the last name was Andre. Mm. You know.
That's A N D
R E. A N D R E.
And how was he related?
They were brothers.
With my
father.
Andrew was your father's brother. They right. Just call him that one name, or?
Well, that's all the name I know of. You know, I don't know his first name or the last name, whatever.
And then he had another brother that was, another one was Dantin?
No, that was the son of my dad's brother. So therefore, Dantin was my cousin.
Oh, I see. And how is his name spelled?
D-A-T-E-N. E-E-N.
That's his son.
That was his son. Okay, he's got some children here now.
And then he took the last name as Andre.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I see. Okay, and then, Then your mother, Lizzie, her brother was
Slim Reuben. Mm-hmm.
And that's the only brother or sister that she had?
That's only the brother or sister he had, but other than that, he had some other relations too, you know. A close relation.
Do you remember any of them?
I remember some of them. Like the picture that I show you, you know, that old man Luke, that was related to my mother.
How was he related?
He was just a cousin.
So he was probably related to her parents, somehow her parents, sister or brother?
Right,
But I
don't know how. Mm.
And then, did Slim Reuben marry? Did he have a family? Or he had children?
No, he had no children, but he had some adopted children.
Oh. Okay, you remember any of them?
One is living right now. Oh. Anastasia Stanley. That was his adopted daughter. I don't know, you got to make that.
That was adopted daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He was married to who? Slim Reuben. Oh, you forgot her name.
I didn't know her name, no.
Okay. And then Andrew was married. Who was he married to when he had that team?
I do not know who he was married to. I never seen her. That was before.
That team is married to?
That team is married to Maggie Andre. I mean, Maggie used to be Madros. He was my sister-in-law.
Oh, okay. Okay, and then for your family, your brothers and sisters, if you can remember from the oldest on down, the first one was the name of your brother or sister.
My oldest brother was Wilfred.
Okay, and then Number two.
Number two was a Benjamin.
Okay. Three.
Number three was Tassie.
Okay. And Tassie, what was her married name?
Was married name was Smalka.
What was her husband's name?
It's her husband is living right now, Clement is Malcolm.
Oh, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
Is Malcolm
E-S-M-A-I-L-K-A? Spell it again.
E-S-M-A-I-L-K-A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then number four?
Number four was Monica. He was married to a Bernard Alexi.
And then number five?
It's Ati Summit.
And he married?
A May. May Madros was his name from Nolada. It's different Madros from. Edith Petka was his maiden name.
Okay. Then number seven?
I
think I'm number seven. And you marry Florence. And
her last name was Madras? Her last name was Madras, her maiden name. Gilbert.
He married
Margaret McGinty.
Was there number nine?
Yeah, there was number nine. Regina Turner. Yeah, it was the second marriage.
His first name is, remember Turner's first name?
Joe.
Okay. And then, was there 10?
Was there 10, yeah. Michael. He's not married.
And
any
more?
It's all.
And then I didn't get Wilford. Wilford was married
to. Well, Wilford was married twice.
First one.
His first one was Eva. She was a girl from Eagle. So I don't know his real last name is. Or,
and then the second wife.
Second wife was Sally. Sally Mary was his nickname. What's the nickname?
Sally Mary?
Yeah.
You know her last name?
Her last name was Malamute, his maiden name.
And then Benjamin?
Benjamin was married twice too. He was, his first wife was Cecilia Solomon.
That's how you were related to Herbert Solomon, that way?
He was
Cecilia?
No, he's not originally from a Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
Their mother is from over at the Cusco, Kumbo, Anoka River. Okay, his mother moved over with two or three kids, And then Solomon got married with, Alex Solomon, my uncle, got married with her after these two kids.
So when they adopted him.
So just like he adopted these other two. Okay, my brother got married with one of his daughter, you know. And that's how his last name is Solomon. I do not know his name. Her maiden name was, you know.
So how is Alex Solomon related to you?
He was my uncle.
So who's?
He was related through my dad's brother, I think, or my dad's dad. My dad's dad were brothers.
Alex Solomon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Therefore, he's my second uncle, like, you know, in...
Brother to Alex... Was it A-L-E-X?
A-L-E-I-E-X. E-X, yeah.
Alex Solomon. So, but you don't know your father's name?
No. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Did your father's father have any sisters that you remember?
I don't remember. He never mentioned anything about her sister. He mentioned about this Andre, you know, pretty much about his brother. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a great medicine man, I heard.
Andre was,
yeah.
You ever heard any stories about him?
I heard some stories about him. My dad used to tell us stories about him. Mm-hmm. His home was down here about 30 miles, or what they call Stink Creek right now. You know, it's got native name, that place, Kahutokaka, the name of that place. But now in English, they call it Stink Creek. Okay, I heard some stories about that too when he was a medicine man. You know, He sent some medicine man from along the coast, sent a polar bear to him. And then it came across a Stink Creek. It came out in there. And that thing was just white as the snow, they say, in summertime. You know, and then I don't know how that polar bear know the place. He was going to swim right across to this camp right here, you know, Mother Stink Creek. The creek name is Stink Creek. I call it at the mouth of the Stink Creek. He swam across, and just before it hit the beach, they killed it with one arrow. And some medicine man sent it to him to get rid of this medicine man down here. My uncle, well, you'd be my uncle, I guess, you know. But they kill it, you know, they kill it there, they said, you know. And that's the story I heard about. My dad used to tell us about it, you know.
So that was his brother that was...
A great medicine man, yeah.
And then, let's see, Benjamin's second wife?
A second wife was Lucy.
Her maiden name
was Peter. Okay, he was married to a Stickman, though.
Oh, she was married to Stickman, and then Benjamin was her second husband?
Was second husband, right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, have any of your brothers or sisters died?
No, they all. Most of them have died now. Mm-hmm. Okay, Wilfred just died in November.
Okay, and then Benjamin?
Benjamin was. He was murdered.
Mm. Mm. Tassius, maybe?
Tassius died. Let's see.
Okay. We don't need to know the year.
Oh, just okay, write down yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Monica?
Monica's died, yeah.
And Artie?
Artie's still living. He's in Karis North right now.
Okay. And then Burke?
Burke, he's here in town.
And Gilbert?
Gilbert's here in town.
And Gilbert works here too.
Works here, yes.
And Regina?
Regina is down Anchorage. She's living here.
And Michael?
Michael is in Fairbanks. Mm-hmm.
Then of them, let's see. You have Margaret, where is she living?
Fairbanks.
And Francis is here?
Francis is, well, he's been at Fairbanks for over a year now. He's working up down the slope.
Okay. And then Andrew?
Andrew's living with me. Okay. Care.
And Julianne?
Julianne down Anchorage.
And Betty Jane?
Betty Jane's down at Nikolsky.
And Goodwin Jr.'s here?
Here, yeah.
And Chris?
Chris here.
And Kenny?
Kenny's here.
And Daryl?
Daryl's here.
And Jacqueline?
Jacqueline's from Fairbanks. Went to school in Fairbanks.
She's in high school still?
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's going to graduate this spring from high school.
And Diane?
Diane is St. Mary's.
That you had thought about, you know, since we started talking, that you might want to add?
Well, I could tell you about some of the things that I have done for a living.
Yeah.
Like hunting. I did well. There's a lot of times I kill a lot of animals. I kill a lot of moose. But I didn't do it just for a pleasure. I did it to make a living for my family. And there's a time where, there's a time when moose used to make me work, used to make me run. And a lot of times I always think about it, that I should listen more to the older people that know how to hunt. But as I was a good runner, I always think that as I'm a good runner, I could catch the animal anytime if it's hard for the animal, like moose. If it's hard for the moose, then I'm careless hunting. I don't care whether it's run away from me or it smell me.
If
there's a lot of snow, I'm always pretty sure that I would catch it. You'd run it down or the animal would give up. But a lot of times I get fooled like that too. So therefore, me and my brother Clement, we were chasing moose for 2 days and a half. And I thought it was really, really easy. It was good for me. It was good for us in snowshoes. But it was hard for moose. And I thought that, we both thought we would catch the moose pretty easy. So we start chasing the moose. We chased it all day. In the evening, I finally gave up. My brother-in-law, Clement, never gave up. He kept after that moose. And that moose, I could see it in the woods, but I never had a chance to shoot at the moose. I could just see his legs, that's on some places. And while I was chasing the moose, I could hear it cough like once in a while. I was following it, blood just splashed all over on his trail, his lungs had give out on him. But still at that, I couldn't catch it up. I could hear it, and sometimes I could see it. I finally gave up around 6 o'clock at night. It was dark then.
What time did you start?
We started about 9 o'clock in the morning. And I chased that moose all day long. and that was never stopped running. He was just going pretty soon. Well, I never stopped running, me too, you know. In times I see it, in opens I see it, but quite a long distance, you know. And then whenever I get close to him, I could see him in the trees or the willows, but all I see is just the lakes, you know, in the woods. Don't have chance to shoot at it. And in times I could hear it, you know. And my brother-in-law was behind me. I think he was somewhere behind me, and he kept on going. And he went after that moose, and then he saw where it gave up. You know, it wasn't too far when I left it. And I went back to the camp, and he was still following it. And he said he shot at it two times, but it was too dark. You know, it was out in the lake. Then he ran out of shells. So he left it too and walked back. Next morning, my brother-in-law that evening, my brother-in-law came back, and then he told me about it. Tomorrow, we're going to go after it again, he said. Clement, it was Clement, you know. Next morning, we went back with a dog team back down to the place, and then we start following it again. All that day, we chased that moose again. It ran away from us again. It ran away from us, one. It ran away from us, and then we start chasing it again. Chased it all that day. I never even seen it, you know. But I see the first track.
There was still blood?
There was, well, it had stopped bleeding, you know. We never even wounded the moose or anything. So we chased it all day, never got it again. The third day, we went after it again. It was almost in the same area, you know. That was how hard to get moose in those days. It was still in the same area. It ran away from us again about the same time it ran away from us every day, you know. And then, well, we was pretty close to it this time, I think the third day, the way he started out. He started out pretty fresh, you know. And I got kind of stuck in the woods there. You know, the willows was too thick. So by the time I come out in the open, I was going one direction and the moose went in another direction. So that way it fooled me, you know. But my brother-in-law was right behind it. He was tracking us, you know. And I went quite a ways off, and then I started hear shooting. Finally the moose gave up, you know. He had come out in the lake and stopped right there. My brother-in-law Clement come out and then shot it, you know. Well, I heard the shot, so I started to walk out towards the lake, and there he was, way up there, about a mile up, you know. Well, that far I had to pass it already. And well, the moose was just about, he was tucked out, and of course it was harder for moose than us. Finally, the third day we got it, about 2 days and a half we chased that moose. But it was that hard to catch a moose in those days. I mean, if you're after him, maybe you'd have to go miles and miles before you get into another moose, you know. But this was only the moose that was around in that area. Well, when we killed it and hauled the meat back to the camp, then my dad said, he looked at the feet. And he said, this moose must have been a pretty tough moose, he said. He said, there's one of the fastest moose there is. And I found out that he was right, you know, just by looking at the feet. And
how did the feet look different?
I don't know how he read the feet, you know. But he said, this moose was a pretty tough moose, he said. You know.
You can tell how it's worn down or something?
No, just by the long fingernails, I guess, or something, or some white, there was some white stuff on, white streaks on his fingers, you know. And that shows that he was a tough moose, you know, tough moose to run down. But it was really acting that way when we first went after it, you know. And that was the longest time that Moose ever make me work. Mostly all the time it make me work. And like I said, I was a good runner, and then I was careless hunting, and I never listened how to do it easy way. You know, there's some guys that know how to do it easy way.
How would you have done it that time easy way?
Well, the easy way would be I'll just follow his tracks and then just kind of click the old and first tracks together. You know, and then just about the time when the moose started to lay down, then you could tell by his tracks that he's going to lay down. Okay, he's not going to lay down where right at the end of where he could through feeding himself, you know. He wouldn't lay down there. If there's a north wind, he'd go south and go behind where he got through eating. If there's a south wind, he'd go on the other side of that wind where he got through feeding himself, you know. So if there's somebody tracking him up, then he would hear it or smell the human being, you know. And he always does that. Well, me, I never think of it that way, you know. I just keep following it till he run away from me, you know.
So he probably, if he was resting, then he could hear you probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we'd be still fooling around with his tracks, and then he'd be maybe 300-400 yards away by the time you find out that he had run away from you, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, some people know that, you know how to do it. I know one of my brother-in-law used to tell me how to do it. You know, his name was Bill Maska. He told me that, you know, he told me how to do it. And he was a good moose hunter, but he wasn't a fast runner, or he wasn't a fast walker. So he do it the easy way. If he's after a moose, he just take his good old time and click all the fresh and old tracks, and without making any noise, and he'd follow it. He could catch that moose while he's laying down or eating. Mm. I seen him doing it when I hunted with him once or twice. The moose was laying down when he got it. And very seldom you catch a moose laying down. That's about one of the hardest things a fellow could do when he's hunting. Unless a hunter is really careful and don't make any noise. Like in summertime, in fall time, when it's hard to catch it, you know, when there's no snow on the ground. Well, I did that one time. I shot a bull moose when he was laying down. And it was already running time for them, breeding time for them. But I was all alone, you know. As long as I was all alone in the fall time, my eyes was all over. My eyes was all over, you know what I mean, watching, alert. Something like that. And I seen some fresh moose track, and then I followed it, you know. And I keep following it where they were walking. And somehow I made a turn even around his track, and I passed that moose while he was laying down. I never seen it, and he was so close to me, you know. I never seen the moose. How I found out he growled at me. That's how I found out. I was so close to him, he had no chance to get up. He thought he was just another moose, I guess. And then he just woke up too. And then he saw me and just growled at me, you know. And I was about 20 or 30 feet away from it. And he ought to see me swing that gun to him. When he growled, and then I seen him, he lift up his head. I made that move so fast, I guess I didn't notice it myself. And then he never even got up. He just lifted up his head, and I just shot him right there, and shot him right there in the head, you know, and just fall right back down.
Were you following his tracks that time?
I was following his tracks, but somehow I got off his tracks, you know. And then I got to a place where he was laying. I went straight to where he was laying down. Well, that's only one moose I ever got laying down. And I almost killed about two moose a year putting there.
Is that about how much it would take for your family?
It would take just about two moose a year to keep my family up for the whole season, probably more than that sometimes, you know. Some other times if I go out with somebody, then we divide the meat, you know. Well, if I divide the meat, then one moose is not, two moose is not enough for me, for my family, for the whole year.
So what other things happen to you when you're trying to make a living to your family? What was that, maybe? Oh, the luckiest time you ever felt, you know?
Well, my luckiest time I could remember at times where I was so lucky, like hunting moose, or mostly hunting moose or bear. But every time I go out so far, I always catch something right away, you know. But like if, for instance, I go out on Saturday or Friday night, I probably would get a moose that same night, Friday night, you know. I don't want to come back, you know. I just keep right on going. I'd butcher the moose, hang it up, and keep on going, you know. But when my boys grew up a little bit more, I wanted to teach them how to hunt. So I used to take out one of my boys all the time with me. Goodwin Jr., for instance, I took him out. And was going out hunting in the fall time for moose. And so I took him along with me. And I had, I think I had 18 horse even route. Was going in the slough, and pretty soon was going in the slough pretty late at night. And pretty soon the moose jumped right in the water right in front of us. And moose was standing right on by the water line or something. He was eating some leaves off the tree anyway. And usually if you go in a slough, the moose don't know where the noise come from, because the echo come back from the other side of the slough, and he don't know which way the noise come from. So he just jumped right in the river, right in the slough, or in the water, wherever. He just jumped right in there, and he started swimming around out there. And Goodwin Jr. was out there with 22, you know. He had this 22 rifle, and I was running alongside of the moose, you know. And he had this gun aimed at him. I don't shoot. And, because I know it's hard to skin a moose in the water, especially when I'm all alone and one of my little boys with me, you know. And he wasn't going to be very much help with me.
He was young?
He was young, yeah. He was about 6 or 7 years old then. And, but he was able to shoot then, you know. Don't shoot, I tell him, you know. I tried to get him down to get off the water, you know, this moose. And I was running alongside of him, but now he swam right down in the middle of the slough. And pretty soon my son, he shot out there, you know, and he shot him right in the air, and his head just dropped right there with this 22. And mostly the moose got drowned, you know, I got knocked out and got drowned. kicked around for a little while and then started to drift. I told him not to shoot because it's too hard to skin moose in the water. I've done that a lot of times and it didn't make me work, I told him, you know. So it was getting kind of late at night, so I just tied him. I put a rope around his leg and then I tore it down about 100 yards and find a good place to, where there was a nice gravel bar. I tore it down there and I pulled far as I could on it, and then from there I started skinning it in the water. And well, I covered it and then I pulled the meat out and I left it right on the beach, and then we camped out. So we kept on going down the river, down the slough, and went quite a ways down. That evening was coming back, and my son was sitting out in front. He'd never seen a black bear yet before, you know. And then I was driving the kicker, and pretty soon he turned back to me. "Daddy, who's that back there?" He said, you know, there was a cup black bear standing on the bank. And he didn't know what it was. While I was driving, I couldn't reach for my gun fast enough, you know. And as soon as I seen it, it was a cup. So I up in the, I didn't shoot at it. I only see, you never shoot a cup unless you see a mother. Because if you hit that a cup bear, the mother will get mad and he'll charge you, you know. Well, I heard that from different people. He'd never done that to me before, you know. But I always know what other people tell me, you know, that I never shoot at a cup unless you see the mother. And that way, it come to my mind right away. I started to look for the mother right away, you know. But the mother was quite a ways back in the woods. He was pretty smart, you know. He's sticking his head out. He was washing his cup out there on the bank, see if we shoot at or wounded it, you know. And pretty soon the cup started to go back in the woods and then run away with his mother, you know. But I did that once. I made a mistake. But that was by mistake. I shot the cup.
What happened was,
I was up in Nulaga, and then I came back down. I played cards up there all night, and then I came back down, and then my wife got mad at me because I was on the way too long, you know. Well, at home, I play cards up there all night. And anytime there's a card game, I never leave there, you know, unless the game break up. So, well, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go out hunting. So I just went back down in a boat, get some gas, and kept right on going. And I went down here at 8 Mile. And then I was driving along. Pretty soon I seen a mother bear and two cubs walking along the beach coming up. It was in fall time, in August, end of August. And I know they were in good shape then. So I wanted to catch the bear, you know. I want to kill the bear. I want to catch something so I can come back to my family, you know, show them that I was out hunting. And so I stopped my motor. I slowed down. And the bear looked like he didn't pay attention, you know, with his cup. He was just walking along the bar. And I took a good aim at it, and I never thought I'd never miss it, the way I took my aim at it. And I shot, and then he just kind of dropped, but I didn't know where my bullet hit. You know, it's something you got to watch for all the time, where you hit to. Then according to that, you sight your gun back. He kind of dropped and he stopped. And the cub started running in the woods. And then the mother started to run after them. And then I shot 3 times at it while he was going up the bank. And somehow when running in the woods, I hit the cub. But I didn't know it. You know. He was already in the woods. And I was all alone. And they say not to follow a bear if you're if you shoot at it when it's going into woods, you probably wounded it, or you just wounded it and you stop right there and wait for it to charge. And so I had a pistol on me too, you know, so I put the pistol out and put it handy like, and I walked back and look at the track, see if I hit it. And I walked around there and walked around back and forth on the beach, but there was no sound. So I know if a bear run away from you, there's something I learned too. If a bear run away from you on the island, he'll go right straight across to the island. I found that out. So I turned back and then went around the island, but I never seen it. So I came back to the same place. I checked the place again. It was a pretty small island. So I went back around the island again. And then I stopped way down the other end. And I stood there. It was getting pretty late at night. And I was all alone. I was wondering where I want to camp. And I sat there. Pretty soon I seen the bear come out way up there with only one cup. It had two cups. And I was wondering, what was wrong? What's wrong with the other cup? So I keep watching. Pretty soon he went right in the water, started swimming across the river, you know. I waited till he got quite a ways out. So but just about halfway, he went with his cup, you know, and then I run down to my boat and I start my motor and then I run up to it. And I got really close to it and I...